Good afternoon and welcome to For the Cause of Christ, the radio ministry of the North Coast Baptist Church of Lakewood. The church is under the direction of its pastor, John Lutz. Stay tuned for a message straight and direct from the Word of God. Here now with this week's message is Pastor John Lutz.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to our broadcast today. We've got a special broadcast planned for you today. I hope you can stick with us for the next hour. Brother Al Davis is in studio with us today. Brother Al, good to have you with us today. Thanks for coming in a little early. I know you usually sleep in, so getting you up a little early.
Thanks again for the early morning wake-up call there, Brother Lutz. I know that I had to call you out of your jacuzzi spa and everything to get you ready to be on the program. But no, I appreciate you filling in for me last week on our program.
Oh, that was great. Thanks for the opportunity. That was wonderful.
And again, I appreciate people praying for us, and everything is getting straightened out with my wife's family down in Kentucky. And so we appreciate all the prayers and just good to be on and looking forward to having you on with us on our program at 1:30.
Yeah, we've got some great topics that we're going to go over today. And before we get into that, let me tell you a little bit about our church. We're a North Coast Baptist Church, and we are located at 2051 Quail Street in Lakewood. We would love for you to come on out and worship with us this coming Sunday. Of course, Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, and we would love for you to come on out. We'll be there at 11 o'clock. And I know a lot of churches don't have church on Sunday night on a day like tomorrow, but we are, or Sunday, but we are planning on having church at 6 o'clock. So we hope that you maybe come on over and worship with us. We'll have a great challenge from the Word of God, as we always do. But that'll be 11 o'clock Sunday morning, 6 o'clock Sunday night. And then we also have a midweek service at 7 o'clock on Wednesdays that we would like to invite you on out with us. We can be reached at 216-521-3800, or you can go to our website at northcoastbaptist.org. Again, northcoastbaptist.org, and all of our information is right there. Pastor Al, why don't you tell us a little bit about your church real quick?
Well, we're at the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, and we meet at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, Ohio. We're in northern Summit County, midway between Akron and Cleveland, right where the Turnpike, Ohio Turnpike, and Interstate 77 meet. And we have a Friday night Bible study. We'll be there tonight at 7 o'clock. And then we also have our regular services in the same location at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express on Sunday. We have our morning Bible study at 10, and then our morning service at 11, and our evening service at 6 p.m.
All right. Well, I hope you can get out to church this weekend. We know the church houses will be filled up, and we thank the Lord for that, for opportunity. You know, don't be critical to people who come out just on Christmas and Easter. Encourage them, and maybe they'll come a little bit more often. And so that's obviously the goal, is to see people get saved, and those who are saved, get them grounded in a good church. And by the way, if you don't live in Lakewood or in that area, you don't live in Richfield in that area, we can still help you out, get you to a good, solid independent Baptist church in your area where you can learn about the Word of God and grow in your faith. All right. Well, we're going to go ahead and get into our first topic today. And our goal for this first half hour is really to go over some timelines. Of course, today many are celebrating Good Friday. Pastor Al, I started the morning off this morning with a phone call asking, I don't know why they called, but they asked if we were going to be doing the Stations of the Cross today. And I said, I'm not even sure exactly what you're talking about. I said, but historically, Baptist churches do not involve themselves in that. I said, but you may be looking for a Catholic church. And anyway, that conversation happened.
They were doing the Stations of Salem today.
I guess so.
AM 1220 and FM 96.9. So
anyway, you know, that is a common belief, is because there has been a church, quote-unquote, tradition or church supposed authority doing this, that it's just been widely accepted that Friday would have been the day that Jesus died. Because in mind, one, I think there's two reasons. If you took Friday, Saturday, Sunday, doesn't matter when he rose on Sunday, that's the third day. And that may sound good and that may feel good and all those things, but we're going to show you here in the scriptures where that's not possible numerically, even on a cursory type thing. And the other reason that I think Friday is always looked at, Brother Allen, you can correct me if I'm wrong here, but I think people look at it because they think, well, he couldn't stay on the cross for the Sabbath. And right. So there's a correlation to say, well, we know the Sabbath runs from Friday night to sundown Friday to sundown on Saturday. And so he had to have been down, and that's the Sabbath. And so we're going to try to make sense of this timeline for you, try to help you out a little bit. And so we're going to kind of go through the days here. So, Brother Al, let's go ahead and start on Sunday of this what would be called the Passion Week that is so often referred to. Is what really sets the table for the events of this week? What happens on what we just celebrated historically, Palm Sunday? What happens on that Sunday in relation to the life of Christ here this final week?
Well, and really, when you look at this, this is when he presented himself as the Messiah.
Yeah.
I mean, he presented himself to Israel. And it's kind of interesting. At the one point, remember, he came in and he cursed the fig tree.
Yeah.
Because it had no figs, but it wasn't the time for figs.
Yeah.
But it said, if haply, there might be some figs on it. When he made that presentation to Israel, it was a case of would they be willing to accept him? Of course, God, in his infinite knowledge, knew that they would not. So just like Jesus knew there would not be any fruit on the fig tree was a picture of Israel. There was no fruit. There was nobody who was willing to accept him as the Messiah.
Yeah.
And he was presented, and then in fulfillment with Daniel chapter 9's prophecy, he was then rejected a few days later, and he was cut off, but not for his own sake. He was cut off for your sins and for my sins. So this was a fulfillment of prophecy. I believe it was Zechariah where he is prophesied of coming in on the donkey, and so he fulfilled the prophecy. He also
Zechariah 9:9,
I think so. Yeah, and also the other thing, he did not come in on a horse like a conquering king. Remember in Revelation, he's pictured in Revelation 19. How does he come back?
Yeah,
on a white horse.
Yeah.
A picture of a victorious king.
Yeah.
But he came meek and humble and lowly, presenting himself as a servant. And he was rejected. He was cut off.
Yeah.
And so that's where Palm Sunday kind of starts the Passion Week, as we call it. And so that set things up. He made the offer, and he was rejected. And so now everything starts to come into place leading up to his death, his burial, and his resurrection.
And it really explains when the Bible says when he came to the city, when he came near, I think it says in Mark, or maybe it's Luke, when he came near, he began to weep, and he wept over the city. And the reason he wept over the city in general form is because he knew he had been rejected. And he knew, in fact, he makes a comment to say, well, if you basically, if you knew what would belong to thy peace, he said, but you're just ignorant of the day of visitation. You're ignorant of the times. And it broke his heart because you know, God, sometimes God gets portrayed as just overwhelming, I don't know what the word would be, just an authoritarian, just by the book.
Cold and dispassionate.
Yes,
and
that's
clinical,
because
almost.
In religion, that's all you really have. You have a cold, you don't have a personal God.
Yeah.
So it's just a relationship.
Cold and judgmental.
Exactly. And but that's far from the actual truth. You know, some people will read the Old Testament and they will say, well, look how unmerciful your God is. And yet you don't have to go anywhere further than the beginning story of Genesis to see the mercy of God and the plan for redemption. And, you know, even when he declares, you know, you're going to bruise the head of the serpent, but he's going to bruise your heel, but you're going to crush his head in that form. That's a picture of mercy because that's a picture of Christ. And so sometimes that idea is, well, the only way we can appease this God is we better walk according to the letter of the law. Otherwise, we step out of line, this big hammer is going to drop out of the sky and crush us. And God isn't like that at all. And Jesus didn't come, the Bible says, not to condemn the world, but that through the world, through him might be saved. And so, in fact, John 12, he says, I came not to judge the world. There's one that's judging you already, and that's my word, and my word will judge you in the last day. He said, I came out of a heart of love. I came out of a heart this way. And so when he comes into the town or comes near to the town on Sunday, you know, that's where his heart really is. And so,
The weeping, though, I think would have actually been the next day.
Well,
I was just looking at that as a possibility, because he entered into the temple and he looked around and then he left. He departed. The Bible says in Mark 11:11, he looked around and then he went to Bethany.
Yeah.
And then he comes back the next morning. And I was looking in Luke 19.
Let's see.
In Luke 19, when he enters into the temple, let's see, get down toward about verse number 40, 41.
Mm-hmm.
It says, 41. We come near, he beheld the city and wept over it.
Mm-hmm.
And see, that was after,
that's right.
Because Luke 19
day, right,
is where
right.
the, yeah, so
yeah,
this would be Monday.
There.
Yeah, so this would
right,
be Monday
yeah.
morning.
Right.
And it still doesn't take away what you're saying.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say you're wrong. No, you said to say when you're wrong. No.
Well, yeah, because he goes back to Bethany
at
night.
Yeah, because
right,
what he did is he presented right. himself as the Messiah.
Yeah, right.
He looked around.
Sure.
And then the next day when he came back, this is where he knew he had been rejected. In fact, if you look there at what he says, when it says that he wept over it, he says in verse 42, said, if thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes.
Right.
For the day shall come upon thee, and thine enemy shall cast a trench. This is the destruction that's coming.
Right.
And so now he weeps because he knows what their rejection of him meant.
That's right.
And now this is where he cleanses the temple, you know, lest people think that he went there, he entered in, you know, and he gets into there and in a fit of rage, he just loses control of himself and cleanses and beats the people and chases out the money changers and all that. No, he looked around. He saw what was going on.
Yeah.
He went back, spent the night in Bethany, and come back the next day, wept over the city.
Right.
And then he cleansed the temple.
Yep. You are correct. So, I stand corrected.
You said
I jumped ahead without transitioning to Monday.
It's easy to do, and that's why we're doing this, because we can kind of sort this out a little bit.
Sure.
To try and when you compare scripture with scripture, because what a lot of people don't understand, especially when you look at the different gospel accounts, they sometimes lump a bunch of things together. The Eastern mindset is not always like our Western mindset, where we say, first you do number one, and under number one, you got subpoints A, B, C, and D. Then you go to number two, and subpoints A, you know, we go in a particular order. The Eastern mindset, sometimes they'll throw a whole bunch of things that happened and then go back and examine them and not necessarily in the order in which they happened.
Right. And I know that's comparing, you know, scripture upon scripture, because you go to other passages. I was just looking at, it might be Matthew, where it doesn't even indicate, I don't think it indicates he ever goes back out of out of Jerusalem.
Yeah.
And it appears that he comes in and cleanses the temple away.
But when
there's another whole day.
When you read Mark,
you
realize, yes, he did.
Yeah.
And then in Luke also brings out how he weeps afterwards. And then, of course, that was where the fig tree comes in too. And then, of course, he would have went back to Bethany that evening, that Monday night. And possibly, and I'm not going to be dogmatic on it, I think this is the feast where you know, that Judas became disgruntled, and remember the woman broke the ointment, and he said, you know, it could have been kept, you know, that money, it could have been sold and that money used. And remember, it said he was the one that kept the bag, meaning he was the treasurer. He held the money.
So you're saying that you think that was on
possibly that Monday night.
Okay.
Yeah, that Monday night.
Okay.
And that may be where Judas became, you know, well, I've had enough of this.
Yeah.
You know, he had a great opportunity today, and he squandered it, and then here could have been sold, and we could have had the money, and he squandered that. And, of course, you know, Jesus knew from the beginning when he chose his disciples. He said, have I not chosen you, and one of you is a devil?
Right.
It doesn't mean Judas was the devil incarnate, because later on it says that the devil entered into him.
Right.
So, so he was a devil, and he was controlled by fallen angels and ultimately by Satan himself.
Right.
So, and it's possible that feast could have taken place prior to Palm Sunday, but
you're talking about the one in Simon the leper's house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that would have been in Bethany.
Right, in Bethany.
And Bethany is just a short walk. You know, it's a Sabbath day's journey, I think.
Yeah.
It's described from Jerusalem. So
it's
not
11,
very
right.
far.
Yeah,
it's not about... very far. It's just sort of around the other side of the Mount of Olives. So it's just kind of going around the mountain.
Right. No, I agree with that too. Is because he goes, you know, when he goes back out on Monday or you're on Sunday night, and then Monday we have the temple being cleansed,
right.
And then he goes back out of Jerusalem that night back to Bethany. I think he goes to Simon's, maybe stays at Simon's house, you know, at that point, because that's where he's at.
Right.
And something between that time and whether, you know, that night or sometime earlier, you know, of course the feast would be in the evening, so it makes more sense for that. But then Mary comes along and anoints the body of Christ and, you know, gets upset at that point, because that had to happen, whether it's, you know, that evening or that next day, because that very next night you've got the Passover meal. You have the
Last Supper.
The Last Supper, yeah, where it gets instituted, the Lord's table.
Right. But what's interesting with that is it really wasn't on the day of Passover, because it was the day of the preparation of the Passover.
Right.
And again, for our listeners, we need to clarify that we're talking about days like we do, you know, morning and night and all that kind of stuff. But the Jewish day, the first day of the week, second day of the week, went from sundown to sunset, not midnight to midnight.
Right.
So when we say Monday and Tuesday, Sunday, Monday and Tuesday, we're talking about the way we think of it. But if we say first day or the day of the preparation, the day of the preparation of the Passover, I believe started that week on Tuesday when the sun set, okay? Because it would have lasted until Wednesday at sunset.
Right.
And
for the preparation?
For the preparation, because Jesus was slain on the cross. He died on the cross. He was crucified, and he gave up the ghost at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, which would have been the time that they were killing the Passover lambs. Because remember, John pointed out that they wanted the body of Christ and the two thieves off the crosses before the Sabbath, because John points out that that was a high Sabbath, which is distinctly different from the weekly Sabbath.
Right. Let me read it here.
Yeah.
It says in John 19:31, the Jews therefore, because it was the preparation that the bodies should not remain upon the cross of the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was an high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away.
Right.
So the distinction of the high day is
versus the regular weekly Sabbath.
Right.
And that's why people always think, well, Friday, you know, and the Sabbath starting at Friday at sunset, running on Saturday, and then Jesus rising from the dead Sunday morning and all, except that, remember in Matthew chapter 12, where he said in verse 39-40, where he said, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, but there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. So he emphasizes three nights. A lot of people try to say, well, it's just a generic term.
Yeah.
You know, just like, you know, after 3 days, in 3 days, or around 3 days.
Yeah.
But he says 3 days and three nights twice. So if he was crucified on Friday, that's, let's make Friday one day, Saturday the next day, Sunday the next day. That's 3 days. So now we come up with our nights. We got Friday night, Saturday night. There's no third night.
Yeah.
So now people say, well, if you're saying he was crucified on Wednesday, isn't that too many nights?
Yeah.
Well, that's what we're working through, aren't we?
Yeah, we are. And so we want to kind of, because we only got maybe 5 minutes or so left on it. So let's go through. So now we're on to Tuesday.
Correct.
And Tuesday we have the preparation of the Passover.
Mm-hmm.
And
this would have been where they were doing it, the Last Supper. Because in the evening, it's now started the day of the preparation of the Passover, and there were allowances under the law to observe Passover at different times because of traveling and all, and he's certainly getting ready to take a trip, I guess you could say.
That's a good point. So then we have that night, of course, after the meal, they go off into the garden, in which he prays for 3 hours.
Yeah, now we're getting past midnight, so we're into early Wednesday morning.
Right, early
which
Wednesday.
Is still the day of the preparation of the Passover.
Sure, and so we know that at the end of the conclusion of the 3 hours, that Judas and the mob comes to arrest him at that point.
Right.
So that technically, you know, again, we were talking earlier between the 6 hours or the 12 hours, you know, it's still in that same time frame because you're not to sunrise yet at this point, or it's around getting around that time.
Yeah, it's still early in the morning when he goes to the high priest and all these things. Yeah, and then still, eventually to Pilate.
Right, and which the next morning. It says the next morning.
Right.
I think it's in Mark where it says, and the next morning they take him.
Mm-hmm.
And straightway in the morning the chief priest held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council, and bound Jesus and carried him and delivered to Pilate. So that takes us to after sunrise. So now we're into Wednesday morning, basically.
And again, something else to point out, and I know we're going to run out of time before we get through all this. We'll continue on this at 1:30 as well.
Okay, sure.
But what happens is the Romans looked at the day from when the sun rose, and they counted the hours. They didn't go hours like we count them on the clock today. The day had 12 hours, 12 hours from sunrise to sunset. Yeah. And then the night had 12 hours from sunset to sunrise, so 24 hours.
Right.
And so if you looked at it, when the sun was just coming up, that was always considered 6 a.m., when the sun was at its highest point, that was always noon.
Yeah.
And then when the sun set, that was always considered 6 p.m.
Right.
So the third hour of the day would work out to about 9 in the morning.
Right.
If you think about that, you can look the sun straight up, the sun on the horizon, and so you can figure that out as 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. 9's halfway up, like 45 degrees. So
sure.
And that's where he was actually crucified.
And what's interesting too is when you get to the 12th or the 6th hour, mm-hmm. which would have been high noon basically.
Yes, that would be noon.
The Bible says it was dark on the earth from noon till 3 until he gave up the ghost was darkness pervaded upon those 3 hours. So even showing more of a miracle and God's working, you know, how that fed into think about the centurion who gets saved at the foot of the at the literal foot of the cross. You know, we talk about come to the foot of the cross and get saved.
Cross, yeah,
he literally was
kneel at the cross. He really did. The cross.
He really, he said, "Truly, this is the Son of God."
Yeah,
and the same declaration Peter made: "This is the Son of God."
Yeah.
Something only the Spirit of God can reveal. Yeah. And you know, we're winding down here. We only got a couple minutes left. You know, so for those who can't stick with us for the next half hour. You know, we believe the Bible teaches that Jesus died on a Wednesday. He was in the grave before Wednesday evening, basically. And he basically arose sometime after the end of the Sabbath on Saturday.
Correct. Which would be the first day of the week.
Right.
When the sun went down, it's now the day of the week. The Bible says that.
Yeah.
There's nowhere in the scripture it says he rose at the dawn.
That's right. And they wouldn't have gone to the graves because of the safety issues. They would have done it first thing in the morning. And you say, well, why does it matter? Well, it matters because we want to be right. In all reality, you can believe, you know, he died on a Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. We want to be biblicists. But the most important thing is that you understand who Jesus is, why he did what he did. And he did it because he loved us. And there was no hope outside of Jesus Christ. There is no religion that could ever save anybody. Only a person named Jesus. And you must put your personal faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ if you're going to be forgiven of your sin and you're going to go to heaven. And we want you to know that most of all. And so if you've never called upon the Lord to save you, you got to repent and believe the gospel and thou shalt be saved. And God will do that. Now, I hope you can stick with us. We're going to come back and continue on in this topic, maybe hopefully get to another topic as well if we're able to. And so stick with us. We'll be right back with you after this short break.
You have been listening to For the Cause of Christ with Pastor John Lutz from the North Coast Baptist Church in Lakewood. Pastor Lutz and the congregation would like to extend a cordial invitation for you to join them at any of their services. Sunday morning worship is at 11, the Sunday evening service is at 6, and the Wednesday Bible study is at 7 p.m. North Coast Baptist Church is located at 2051 Quail Street in Lakewood. For directions or more information, please call 216-521-3800. That's 216-521-3800. Or send an email to northcoastbaptist@sbcglobal.net. That's northcoastbaptist@sbcglobal.net. Thank you for listening. This program has been sponsored by the North Coast Baptist Church of Lakewood, Ohio.